Good morning, Gabe.
Good morning, Mr. Felipe.
Good morning. Yeah, I am. It is officially 8:40 here on the West Coast, so not extremely early, but I am very, very sore today. It doesn't happen that often, but when it happens, it's just compiled on me, and so I am sore. But what does that mean? It means I still got to get after it, because then if I don't do something, I'm gonna be even worse the day after and the day after. But it's that delayed onset muscle soreness. Because what actually got me sore, I think, was when I was in Vegas for SHOT Show, which was 2 days ago. But it doesn't hit you the next day. It hits you the next day and the next day if you don't stay active, if you don't get on top of it. So that's what I'm feeling this morning. Not necessarily a bad thing. I feel alive when I'm sore, but I am hella sore. That's right.
What did you do that got you sore?
Oh boy. Leave it to Tim Kennedy for this one. So I went out to Las Vegas, and I was at an event called SHOT Show, which is like the industry's, I had never been there. You can only go by invite. So it's not for the general public. It's only for people in the industry of like shooting sports. So you have like every big brand there. And dude, I'm telling you, man, it was insane. The setups these places have. So I'm walking around the venue, and it's like miles of vendors, like ridiculous amount of vendors. And every manufacturer has something, like an optic brand, a, you know, an armor brand, a gun brand, you name it, they're there. And they're all networking and they're all connecting and whatever. But some of these booths, dude, were like, so I'm walking around, I'm talking with the guy from, I was working with the guy from Magpul. And so the gentleman from Magpul is showing me around. Magpul makes a bunch of like accessories for rifles and different things. And they also make glasses. And he goes, I was like, hey man, you think these spots are like 50 grand, 100 grand? He's like, nah, man, these are like seven figure spots. So like people are paying like $1 million to have their setup. And these setups are like, they're like castles in the middle of this convention center, and they build them out and then they take them down. But anyways, so I was out there for SHOT Show, and Tim Kennedy is having like a partner dinner. So we were out there, and he's a, you can look him up, but Tim Kennedy's a total badass. So the next morning he's like, hey dude, come with me and jump in this workout. It's for a memorial workout for one of my friend's sons who passed away. And I was like, of course. So workout's like at 6 a.m. So I get there early, and Tim walks up to me. He's like, hey man, can you host the warm-up, and then I'll take over. I'm like, all right, cool. So he's like, you have 8 minutes for the warm-up. I'm like, all right. And so I look at the workout, 2000 meter row, 9 rounds, 15 clean and jerks, 15 pull-ups, 2000 meter row. And I have 8 minutes to warm a group of 35 people up. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, dude, this is just a disaster waiting to happen. Because
what's the weight on the clean and jerks?
95 pounds. So think about that for a second. It's 2K row, a lot of rowing, a lot of pulling. Then you got like 150 pull-ups and 150 clean and jerks. And then you have a 2K row. So anyways, dude, I'm warming them up. And then basically we get like 8 minutes in. Tim's like, all right, let's go. And like, dude, it was just like in normal Tim fashion, just like, just we just got after it, and it was a lot of volume. Luckily, most of the people in there were familiar, but yeah, man, I was trying to. I mean, I did it as it was written, and it took me like 38 minutes, but it was just a lot of pulling. So that's why my biceps are sore. I knew they were going to be sore, and my hands all like, you know, got a couple.
Yeah,
pictures, but not, man.
So nine rounds of 15,
and 15, yeah,
15 right.
And 15 clean and jerks.
That's a lot of pulling. That's.
And then
that could mess you up. That's like, right. It's different pulling. Type of pulling, but yeah, you're all pulling. Yeah, not ideal.
No, dude. So I finished that workout, and I was like, oh, dude, I knew I was going to get sore. I mean, it's not like terrible, but I knew I was going to get sore. So things that I do when I know I'm going to get sore is I immediately that day start like massaging out my biceps, because I know that I'm going to get it in my biceps. So I immediately just start working it. So while I was on the airplane, just working my bicep. And so it's not bad. It's just, I, you know, I'm alive, man. I'm alive. I could feel that I have soreness, and that's fine. So then I do that. I get home on air, you know, I get home and I'm all fired up. So then I decided to train again later, just like some cardio stuff. And then the next morning I decided to do this EMOM that's coming up on the app, and it's 10 minute cardio. 10-minute EMOM of front squats and burpees, 10-minute cardio. And dude, so that lights me up. And then later in the day, you're like, you know what? I feel like going and doing jujitsu. So I did 10 rounds, 5 minutes each. And that was last night. So here I am this morning. And yeah, dude, it's just, I gotta go. And I gotta go test a workout later that I'm trying to do for the men's club. So it's a good day, bro. It's a good day.
At what point is too much too much?
I'm not quite there yet, but it's not there. Not there yet.
No, you don't think so?
No, I'm not there yet. I go in ebbs and flows. You know, I got an email from a guy who's like, hey, I was super consistent. And then I got sick and I'm just trying to get back at it. It's like, dude, sometimes, you know, I get sick or sometimes things come up in life. And sometimes you have a season in life where you do have more dedication and sometimes you have a little bit less and sometimes you're putting in a little bit more. And for me, you know, I obviously look at fitness as an outlet. So, you know, in my life, if I have stressors or things going on that I want to make sure that I show up for everybody, I practice what I preach and I make sure I get after it. And jujitsu and early morning workouts are like two really easy ways to do that. And then today, the reason why I need to go test this workout is I have this idea for a men's club workout. I just don't know if it's going to work. So I need to go test it to see if it'll work, or at least a part of it. Otherwise it could flop. So that's why I wanted to do that later today.
Yeah. It's tough, man. It's tough because I feel like, you know, people listen to stuff like this and it's easy to not take into account the fact that you've built up the ability to withstand this much volume over years and years and years. And I feel like this happens a lot where people just see the person that they want to either look like or perform like and see how they work out without, like, in a vacuum, not taking into account the, like, background. And then they're like, well, that's how much Jason works out. That's how much I should work out. And that's not necessarily the case, right? So it's interesting. And then that's why I ask. But I know that you're in tune with kind of where you're at, how you're feeling, so on and so forth. Dude, one of the most sore I've ever been that I can at least remember in recent memory. My legs get pretty sore sometimes if I do, like, you know, a bunch of lunges. Like, lunges always mess you up, so on and so forth. But, like, always in terms of your arms,
yeah,
dude, I remember there was this one time I dropped into a gym and I looked up the workout. They were doing Nicole. So Nicole is AMRAP 20 minutes. It's a CrossFit benchmark workout, 400 meter run and max pull-ups. So you do like a max unbroken set.
Yes. And you're trying to get like 5 rounds, right? Because...
Yeah, you're trying to get around 5 rounds, but also, like, you know, when I was like really into doing CrossFit stuff, I was a really good runner and I was good at pull-ups because I was like, you know, the small guy. I wasn't super strong. So, dude, that was not good for this workout because I messed myself up pretty good. Obviously, I didn't get rhabdo, but like I remember I couldn't straighten my arms for like a couple of days. Like, it was soreness to the point where like it wasn't good. But that's what I remember in terms of being like super, super sore. I remember my buddy that, listens to the podcast, actually, Jeff, he did this with me and we still have the running joke of like, I still can't straighten my arm right from that day we did Nicole.
Dude. And that's a really good example of like what you don't want to do. So right now, like I feel alive, I feel sore, but I feel good. I feel good. I've obviously taken it too far. So have you, where if I can't like go play football or go do things, like I took it too far. So I haven't taken it that far yet. You know, and I do a variety of different things. So it's not like I'm just doing like our app, like I'm doing our app, but I'm also doing jiu-jitsu and then I'm going out and training other things. So that's the reason why I could kind of make up for this volume. If I was just doing like workout, like 2-3 times a day, I would just get too sore nowadays. Jiu-jitsu is just different. That's why I can incorporate it and a workout on some days. But dude, that workout that you're talking about, I remember doing that a variety of times, and kipping pull-ups can be nasty, man. Like, you don't realize the volume you're putting in and the strain you're putting on your lats and your bicep until later on. And then your hands, dude, like speaking of which, it's not cool to like, my hands aren't that bad. If you're watching this on video, I have like maybe 3 blood blisters. They're fine because I stopped. I recognized I was ripping. And so I changed the position of my hands and I started doing a little bit more of like what they call a frog kip, where it's straight down and up versus like a butterfly or a traditional kip, because it's not cool to rip your hands. Like, dude, it's just not cool. Like, it used to be cool, but it's not cool anymore. You don't want to rip your hands. It's just going to impact the way you could train for the next week or two.
Yeah, and it's a pain in the butt, man. Like, everything hurts. Like, showering sucks. When it heals, like, you might get that annoying crack in the thing, and then, like, dude, never annoying, heals. Like,
I used to call it the butt crack, dude.
That's literally the worst feeling, because then it starts to heal. But if you, like, straighten your hand out at all, it'll, like, open right back up. And it's, like, one of the most uncomfortable pains in the world. Dude, it's not, like, the worst pain in the world. It's just, like, so uncomfortable. It's such a, like, annoying, burning sensation. But, yeah, I don't need to rip my hands anymore, man.
Two things when you rip your hands that are just a total pain in the ass. The first one is you finish training, your hand is ripped, and you're like, oh, I should probably keep it clean. So you throw on some like a hand sanitizer or Purell or something, and it just burns like crazy. That's one. The other one is like what you said, it starts to heal up, you're feeling a little bit better, but all of a sudden you open your hand past like a certain point and you just feel that thing cracking. You're like, shit, now I need to recover it again. So that's two reasons why you should not rip your hands.
Yeah, anything, I think that the biggest thing when it comes to training now is like, I want to train consistently. And if you do anything in one workout, that's going to impact your ability to train for the next couple of days, whether that's doing too much and being like super sore, ripping your hands, injuring yourself, obviously, like that's the goal now. The goal is to always like, yes, push hard, train hard, but train hard without going over the point where it's like not going to allow me to come back or want to come back or be motivated to come back tomorrow, the day after, so on and so forth. Because at the end of the day, regardless of your goals, you're trying to like put in as much quality work over an expanded period of time. Yeah. And you're not going to do that if you rip your hands, get super sore or hurt yourself and then have to take, you know, one day, 2 days, 3 days, a week off.
Yeah. 100%. But yeah, that's a great way to put it. You know, when I look at my training, I look at it that exact same way. Like I'm going to get after it and I surely do, but I shouldn't have to like have one workout impact my ability to work out the next day, the next day, the next day. Cause I do this because I love it. I enjoy it. I think it allows me to show up the best I can. So for that reason, yeah, that's a good point. I got a message from Phil. So dude, we get all kinds of messages coming through the newsletter. And this was super cool. Because we had like this thing going on for people who are part of Def Reset through the Jocko partnership and just in general, that if you converted your membership or if you signed up for a 6 month or 1 year membership, if you sign up for a 1 year membership to the Train Hard app, we would give you $100 credit to the Train Hard store. If you sign up for a 6 month prepaid, we gave you a $50 credit. And that was our way of not discounting our product, but showing love to people who are committing for a longer period of time to us. And so this guy says, Phil, first off, you're awesome for giving a store a credit. I signed up early for 6 month membership. Whatever credit I receive is a blessing. I'm going to double my purchase. So that was cool. But he explains his split, right? So he has Monday CrossFit class plus an evening EMOM. Tuesday, you know, I hit a class and I do the Force program. And what's really cool about this type of email is that people are starting to use our programs the way they're designed, where you have Force, Flex, EMOM, and they're each supposed to be put into what makes up your perfect week of training. It might be just following one program religiously, which is great. It might be where you do one of these, and a little bit of this. And that's why I love our app so much. So not to like shamelessly plug it, but I am going to, because I'm just getting countless emails lately of people who are really loving the programming. So if you haven't checked out the Train Hard app, make sure you do so, because the programming is the exact way that I train, the exact way that Gabe trains. This guy actually, Gabe actually does all of the Flex workouts before they even show up on here. So if they suck, make sure you send them a message. If they're great, make sure you send them a message.
Yeah. And I've been hearing from some people following Flex. You know, it's been really fun to put a program together with Flex that like, I think like really truly goes with the principles of progressive overload, which I think a lot of people are missing, that like specifically want to put on muscle. But at the same time, to your point, you always have this like track that you can go to if you just, you know, are looking for a pump, whether that's 1 day a week and you're taking class, you're doing jujitsu, you're doing Force. But if you want to, you can also like literally start a cycle in Flex, do that as your main track for 6 weeks, and you will absolutely see progress because it has the amount of repetition that you need to see progress, which I think a lot of people don't realize that that's like, there's a lot of things that you can ask people when it comes to building muscle, building strength, that like is debatable, right? Like, should you do tempo work? Should you do, you know, like big compound lifts? Should you do isolation lifts? Like all that stuff, you can ask three different experts. They might give you three different answers. But progressive overload, like you making your body adapt by going a little heavier week over week, doing a little bit more volume week over week, that is like the consensus thing that will get you there quicker. Does that mean that you can't put on muscle by just following Force or EMOM and being consistent? Absolutely not. That's not what I mean. You working out with an external load and getting after it is going to get you there. But the most efficient way to get there is absolutely to do this week, next week, do a little bit more, week after that, do a little bit more, so on and so forth for like a, you know, 6 to 8 weeks seems to be like the consensus time frame to then you want to switch, change the movements up and start again from scratch. But that just, it's a really effective way to do it. And it's there. That's how I program the program. And I know for some people, if you're following every single day, you're like, man, doing the same thing over and over, but it's just like, it's the way it works. But the nice thing is that in the app, like you don't have to follow it that way if you don't want to. I do think that there's the opportunity there to mix and match if you're just like, hey, I just want to like have fun with my training. I get that it's not the ideal way to get there, but I want to do a little bit of Force, a little bit of Flex, a little bit of EMOM. You kind of have the options. I follow it literally just Flex. I'll add a EMOM, or you know, if you throw some ridiculous challenge at me, I'll work that in somehow. But Flex is the meat and potatoes of the app, and it's I also enjoy the building of it. I know not everyone does, but I enjoy knowing that, hey, right now we're building on the bench press. I'm going to see it every single Monday as part of my chest day. The rep scheme is going to change a little bit, but not really so much. But I'm literally trying to see, okay, I started doing this for 5 reps. What can I get to by the end of 6 weeks? I really enjoy that.
Yeah. And that's great for you, right? Like I'm not as geared on that type of training. I just like hitting it, whatever is there. But I think there's a lot of people who love what you're doing, right? Like very, cause I'm not a very structured person. So I like having the flexibility to go kind of, hey, that looks cool. And then I just go hit it. But to your point, this progressive overloading, I wanted to share with you, I think I've told you this before. I was out with, you know, Louis Simmons and Westside Barbell and the conjugate method.
Sure. Yeah.
So the conjugate method really, for those of you who are unfamiliar with it, it's really, his whole theory was essentially hitting 1 rep maxes with a variety of different tools. So you could take a back squat and change out the position. You could change out bands. You could change out the depth. You could change it out in so many different ways. You could use a bamboo bar. You could use this bar. You could use that bar, but always kind of going for a heavy for the day, but in a variety of different ways, was kind of like Louis Simmons' theory in a nutshell. And I show up to his spot in Ohio. I was telling a guy this last night at jiu-jitsu. And I show up at, it was really early morning. This is like 2010. So at the time I had, you know, I was pretty well, you know, I had done some stuff in CrossFit at the time. And I walk into their gym. It's snowing outside. I'll never forget this. It's like 5 a.m. I knock on the door. I walk in and it's like a warehouse gym. Just grimy, dude. And there's these group of 4 or 5 guys in the corner. And they're all squatting with chains and bands. And I had never seen this before. I had never seen anybody squatting with chains on. So for those of you, if you think about chains, right at the top, it's the most load. As you get to the bottom, the chains start to compress. And so it takes some of the load at the bottom. And then as you stand back up again, it starts to get heavier for you. So that's the benefit there. So this guy is lifting like 500 on the bar plus chains. I don't know if he had any bands. He's coming out of the pocket as I'm walking in. And his nose just profusely starts bleeding onto the floor. And he finishes reps, puts the bar back, and the next guy goes. And it was just like clockwork. Like no one said anything. No one cleaned up anything. The guy just kept training. And that was like the mentality there of just like progressive overloading, conjugate method. Like we're going to go heavy. Our nose is going to bleed at 5 a.m. and we're just going to keep getting after it. So that's my Louis Simmons story. And then after that, we took a seminar with him, but.
So I'm going to go ahead and say that that's not necessarily what progressive overload means.
Well, okay.
I know what you were trying to say, but yeah, I mean, dude, those guys are crazy. Did you ever watch the documentary on them?
No.
On Westside Barbell?
I think I might have watched a little bit.
Because
Louis just like, he sat down with me one time. He had a notebook. He's like, well, you have 95%. Like, because he had, you know, a little bit of an accent and the way he spoke was just like, like he had the numbers like memorized in his head. Yeah,
dude, but these guys at Westside Barbell, man, I mean, like I think it was Louis Simmons specifically, like going back to squatting like the day after back surgery type of guys, right? Mm-hmm. Like literally just, you know, like complete other end of the spectrum of, you know, working out to improve their, you know, outside the gym kind of thing. Like they're just trying to get strong. That's their goal. And I think that the other thing that I was going to say before too, about, you know, you not being like a super structure person and liking to bounce around. I think that also this kind of stuff just depends on like everyone has different training goals. And I think you just have to acknowledge how you train, whether it's in line with what your goals are or not. And then being very honest with yourself that like, okay, is it enough for me to do this thing because that's my goal? And what I'm trying to get at here is like a lot of people say they want to improve their body composition. I think that the biggest difference between me and you and how we approach training, at least right now, is that I literally want to spend the next couple of years like changing the way my body looks. Like I was always a skinnier endurance kid and I want to be super jacked. Jay, you're super jacked. You've been super jacked for a really long time. Like for you, I don't think it's like you're at the point where you're trying to maintain. Obviously, how you look is a big part of like why you train, but I would venture to say you're not exactly trying to put on 10 pounds of muscle in the next 10 years. Like you don't need to, right? Yeah. You're just trying to be athletic. You're trying to, you know, perform on the mats. You're trying to feel good. Like I am literally trying to put on muscle in my 30s. And I think that like that distinction is the reason that like I can't get away. I can't say that that's my goal and be jumping around different programs. And, you know, like I'm going to do a little, I want to keep things interesting. Like if I want to do that, then I need to be honest with myself and say, okay, I want that, but I'm not willing to do the actual best programming to get me there. Right.
Yep.
But if I want that as bad as I say that I want it, like I have to do this type of programming. Like yeah. I have to focus on it and I can't be like, well, I want to keep things interesting. So I'm just going to do an EMOM today and bench tomorrow. Cause then I'm leaving gains on the table.
Right. Right. And I mean, I think you bring up a really good point of like my training and you hit the nail on the head about what your goals are versus my goals and why you need to have this kind of flex style program. Makes total sense. Last thing I wanted to share on Louis, just as a quick shout out to him, cause you brought it up. This guy broke his back squatting. If I'm not mistaken, he was squatting 1,000 pounds or shooting towards 1,000 pounds. Someone's going to correct us on this. And then he created the reverse hyper. And the reverse hyper, if you guys don't know what that is just such a valuable tool. It really takes your spine, just kind of puts it in this kind of flex and extended position. And, you know, those guys would load that up. I keep it really light, but I use the reverse hyper almost every single day to kind of decompress my spine. And he is widely considered. I mean, it was his invention, 100%.
It was his invention, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like there's no considered, like it was his invention who created the reverse hyper, and he would use that as a way to prepare him to get back to that 1,000 pounds after he broke his back.
Right, because he needed something to strengthen his back that didn't put load on the back, because the way the reverse hyper works, if you guys haven't used it or seen it, is the load is on a pendulum on your feet, whereas everything else you would do, deadlifts, good mornings, whatever, the load is literally on your back. It's on your top right. half. So this kind of reverses that, so you can still get that hinge, that loaded hinge, but it's on the lower end of the body where the load is, because literally the pendulum goes strapped to your feet versus anything on your upper body.
Yep. And it just, dude, especially for jiu-jitsu. So last night, it was like 10 round Wednesday, which I had never even heard before, but a new jiu-jitsu gym opened up like 800 meters from my house. It is, dude, it's like, it was just like placed there.
They're open?
Yes, they're open. It's literally placed there for me. Like, and so last night I go there for 10 round Wednesday and bro, like when you invert and when you find different positions in jiu-jitsu, I think the reverse hyper is a nice way to kind of open up your back, get you prepared. But yeah, anyways, that's what I did last night. And the reverse hyper is a good tool to incorporate in your jiu-jitsu training if you haven't heard of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good tool.
For anything. Yeah.
Yeah, period. It's a good tool, period. And for me, it was a big deal when I hurt my back for that same reason that I was able to like start working that range of motion without feeling like anything was, I wasn't pulling anything off the ground and I wasn't putting anything on my back, which was really nice. And you could do it super light. There's even a way, I think Spieler back in the day posted a cool video where you can get a very similar stimulus on a GHD by putting the band on your feet and kind of facing. It's tough to obviously explain it, but if you look up probably Chris Spieler, you know, GHD back extension, you could probably find it. But I remember doing that too. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Basically, you face down on the GHD, you grab where your feet go and you allow your hips to kind of fly. It's the same idea. You could actually almost do it on a table. So you could lay on a table and just let your legs kind of swing underneath. It is a little bit awkward compared to having the actual machine. You just want room for your legs to swing underneath your body and then come back up again if you want to, you know, train that style. So I want to test this workout. I have this idea. And so I don't know if you have an opinion on this. So I have a steep ass hill by my house and I've ran
I know it well.
Yeah. I've ran it with the guys for the Train Hard Men's Club once. I'm deciding between three options for this Saturday. Option A, you just run it. That's easy. Or it's not easy, but that's option A. Option B, we take sleds only. Six sleds is what I have. You get into groups of however many people. You push, you push, you push, you push, and we work our way all the way up to the top. We put them in trucks. We rinse and repeat for an hour. That's another option. Third option I had was, let's just say you had 30, 40 people show up. So there's like teams of five or six. You have one person, on the sled, one person carrying a sandbag on their back, like a heavy sandbag. One person carry like jerry cans, because I have those too. And then one person, maybe like everybody else is like lunging or something, and you just work your way up one time. Like as a group, you say, hey, there's all this shit at the bottom of the hill. I need everybody to get up here. And that's the other option. So I'm trying to figure out what I want to do. It's a big debate, Gabe. Big debate.
I just think logistics wise, man, like there's nothing more simple and effective than just running hills. It's, you know, you don't have to worry about the equipment. You don't have to worry about like one thing being a little tougher than the other. I think they're all gnarly good options, but man, the simplicity of literally just like you, 2 feet, one step in front of the other, get up on that hill and do it as fast as possible. There's an elegance to just, it's that simple, and you don't have to try and like, you know, light firecrackers out of your butt to like make it a good workout. But, you know, you have all those tools. So I also see the value in doing that stuff.
Pump and run. Maybe that's what we'll do this Saturday. Every week is different. So maybe
dude, a little pump and run. Dude, pump and run. I love that.
I'm going to bring, you know, bring 45 pound plates and do like a gun hold, right? And then do curls with it and do press with it. Get the pump, get the pump, get the pump, and get the run. Pump and run. Pump and run Saturday. So this is, if for anybody listening who's like, hey, let's get in the mind of like what I think about, this is exactly the flow that I'm thinking about, is that these Train Hard Men's Club are averaging anywhere from 30 to 60 people. So I don't know how many people are going to show up. At this point, I know that there's going to be more than 10, 20, but you never know. So you're trying to find things that could be scalable. So I always bring enough equipment and think about, okay, if I have 30 people show up, how am I going to do this? If I have 50 people show up, how am I going to do this? And in general, I EMOM it, because then you could get away with less equipment. So for those, you know, if you're interested in doing this type of stuff around your area, if you only had one set of dumbbells, for example, and you had five guys, create five stations, and all of a sudden you can go air squat, burpee, thruster with the dumbbells, and a shuttle run station. And all of a sudden you could accumulate a lot of work as a group every minute with almost no equipment is the idea.
Yeah, man, it's been fun to follow those. Hopefully it'll coincide one time that I can attend in person, because that'd be really fun.
Yeah, man, they're definitely good. So yeah, this last week went out to SHOT Show, saw a lot of really cool stuff. Learned, dudes. I took part in a mini tactical games, and it just, I don't want to say I'm
ready.
No, I embarrassed myself. I was.
Oh, no.
Well, here's the reason why. Okay. So the record on the event was 52. No one had really gotten anything over 40. I got 47. So one guy got 52 because he was just like a.
So what's embarrassing about that?
Well, let me explain. The event was very skewed towards a light sandbag. So if I really wanted to game it, I would have just said, screw it, miss all my shots. Like, don't even worry about it. So the way it went was, it was 9 shots on this, like, with a rifle, you carry the sandbags, 9 shots of the pistol. Do a sandbag for six reps, repeat 2 rounds. With any time remaining in 5 minutes, you accumulate max sandbag to the shoulder. So if you wanted to, you could just like shoot the rifle wherever you wanted, basically, not get the points for the shots you did, and accumulate instead points by doing the sandbag to shoulder. But they kept the sandbag to shoulder light there compared to what it would be in the tactical games, because they wanted to make it inclusive for like this, like, you know, whatever. But they were giving away a rifle to whoever set the score. And long story short, I wanted to do it right. And then I got frustrated. So then I just said, fuck it. And I just started shooting wherever I wanted. And I got to the sandbag with like 90 seconds left. And I ended up getting like 40 on it, you know? So it was for me. So it wasn't the right heart of what was going on. Like, I could have redone it and probably beat the score, but that wasn't the goal of that event, right? So my big takeaway is that I hadn't spent much time on a barrier with different slits in it to get the optic, because we were shooting 50 yards in a very small target. I hadn't spent enough time getting comfortable looking through these slits and an optic. And so for those of you who do shoot rifle, like, there's like this black ring that shows up. And basically, I just got so frustrated because you're like in a prone position and you're on your knees and you're in different positions. I just couldn't find it. And so it was really eye-opening for me on the amount of work I need. So the reason why I'm happy that I'm committing to these tactical games earlier than later is that it's forcing me to do stuff like this, right? It's forcing me to go learn these skills now. And instead of waiting weeks or months, I'm doing it now. So now I recognize a need, and now I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go pursue it.
It's funny how, because the same thing happened when we did the training with the SRT team. It's funny how you get so locked in to like the score that sometimes you completely move away from like, what are we trying to accomplish here? I remember when you came up with a way to hold the kettlebells that would have definitely made it easier, but they were trying to, you know, simulate carrying a stretcher. You wouldn't carry it that way. So it's funny, man, but you know, you can't blame you, because you've been for so long in the game of like, hey, here's the rule set. How do you get the best score within the rule set, period, right? Because to your point, like, there was a big prize, and you know, you're trying to win, but it's tough to balance that with, okay, what are we trying to accomplish here? And is what I'm doing just completely, you know, 180 to that, or am I doing it okay within the rules, but also trying to do what we're accomplishing here?
Yeah, dude. So I mean, because I tried to do it within the rules, and then I got frustrated and said screw it, and I got so close to record, when I finished, some guys were like, hey, you should do it again. You could easily just like, instead of even trying, just say screw it, and just by the time you get to the sandbag, you should easily get over 52 reps and win a rifle. And part of me was like, damn, I could win a rifle. But then the other part of me was like, dude, that's not the heart of what they're trying to do. And I would have just looked like a total dick, just like randomly shooting basically wherever I wanted to, and just getting to the sandbag with 3 minutes left and just, you know, repping them out for whatever rep. So yeah, to your point, I've just been obsessed with trying to see, given the parameters, how do I set the best score versus, hey, what are we really trying to accomplish here? What's the heart of it? Now, don't get me wrong. When I'm actually competing at the real tactical games, if there's an advantage to be taken by doing something, I'm going to do whatever it takes. But in this particular case, it wasn't the right move. It was a dick move if I did that.
Yeah, good on you for kind of like recognizing that. I think that's, you know, that's a good sign. A lot of people would not have done that, I don't think.
It's growth, Gabe. It's growth.
It's growth. It's
growth. Hey, I did blow my eardrum, though. I'm getting some new ear protection sent out. I'll have to send you what it is, because dude, I was just shooting so much, and you're not paying attention because you're so fired up. Later on that night, we're having like a team dinner, and I'm like, I can't hear shit. So it's a good example of like making sure you take care of your ears. So if you are in the shooting sports, make sure you get some good ear protection, which I will be sharing what I get, because I found out a good brand that I'm looking into getting some.
For sure, man. So we're not done with January. It's January 25th when we're recording this, I told you I got in the cold plunge right before the podcast, which means I didn't do it right when I woke up. So I'm finishing the month with, I think it was 18 total days. Some of those were travel, so I wasn't home, but I think that like 4 or 5 days, I honestly chickened out. And this morning I just couldn't do it first thing in the morning, and ended up doing it later. So it was good. You know, it was definitely a challenge.
Well, the month isn't over yet, dude.
Yeah, but I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm not going to be home until February. So it's me having access to my cold plunge. I'll try and do whatever I can.
Well, when you're where here, I am, wait, are you
but
here?
It's going to be different.
No, you could jump in my cold plunge. It's like a jacuzzi for you.
I mean, I could, but either way, I'm not going to be here. So it's kind of done with what I was trying to do, which is literally like I would wake up, I would go put my contacts in and just come straight out, which was made it really difficult. Like I got in just now and it was nothing compared to.
But I was with some friends and we were talking about this. And we were talking about this because they saw that you were doing this online. And it was just like a bunch of people. There were like 10 of us. We were talking about you. And they're like, the first thing that all the women were like, oh, I wonder what kind of shrinkage he had. It was just like the funniest thing. Like for some reason, we're talking about Gabe getting right out of bed, going into it. And someone's like, wait, did he go pee before he jumped in? I was like, I don't know, man, probably. And then he's like, wait, like, what was that? And then all of a sudden it went down like a really like weird path. And then it came back and just letting
I'm
you
glad,
know.
I'm glad it's a topic of conversation.
We were talking about you in a very positive way.
But it was good, man. And honestly, like the biggest thing is, you know, I think that sometimes people see some of these things that are in vogue with, you know, health influencers, like, you know, people that are big on discipline, whatever. And I think that the one thing that I would want to share is that, like, you don't need to buy a cold plunge, do cold showers. I think that it's beneficial, but you don't need to do any of that stuff. I think that the value and the reason that I honestly wanted to do it was it's one of those things where you have to find things that you don't want to do and do them because that's a really good muscle to flex every now and then. And again, like a reason that, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to train every day or hey, I'm going to eat a certain way wouldn't be like fair for me to be like, oh, look how disciplined I am. And I was just listening to this on a podcast is because like, I'm very lucky that those are stuff I enjoy. Like I'd be lying to myself if I said, hey, I'm so disciplined because I train every day. Because it's not like for me, I enjoy doing it. Like it's part of the things that I know that that's not the case for everyone, but that's not me like really finding something that like, shit, I am nervous. I am nervous that I have to do it. I don't want to do it. Like literally if I get out of jail free card for not doing this, I will be so happy, so relieved. Like I'm in the morning, I'm looking for excuses. I'm like, man, I didn't sleep well last night. Shay wasn't great. Like, is it really good for me? Like I'm looking for ways out. And I think that that's also made me very understanding and empathetic of, I know that fitness and nutrition, just because I've been there, is that for a lot of people, like they're like, hey, I'm going to do this for a month. And then they're like, ah, but I'm traveling.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Work, you know, every morning I was there, man, I was like mental gymnastics. Like, how do I talk myself out of it's okay for me to skip? And again, 5 days this month when I wasn't traveling, I did it. I was like, you know, like didn't have a good night's sleep. Ooh, I'm starting a little behind. Ooh, I hear Shay. I think he's waking up. Like, I don't want to let Ariel have to like, you know, get him ready in the mornings by himself. Like, I'm just going to skip it today. And meanwhile, you know, it's like, I could have very easily done it. So it was a good experience, man. I think in February, if I could do it, I'm going to try and keep doing it in the mornings because I did feel awesome when I did it. And then I don't have to worry about like, am I going to do it later or whatever? There's also, I was reading an interesting article about it being beneficial pre-workout and I work out in the mornings, like a little bit later. So just enough for me to like, want to keep doing it. I think if I do it 3 times a week in February, I'll be happy. I'll be pretty pumped. But 18 early morning dips in January. Maybe I can beat that in February. We'll see. But I'm going to keep doing it.
Honestly, that's pretty solid. You should be really proud of yourself. And I think you hit the nail on the head. We know we talked about this a little bit last week, but you're right. Like for guys like us, and it does build some empathy because you see some people who don't, you know, continue on their training journey. You're like, dude, come on, man. Like, dude, so good for you. It's all this, it's that. It's like, yeah, they know those things, but it's hard for them. And they have to work up the balance to be able to get there. And so for you, it's like, even if you drop down from whatever your goal was to 20% less, you're still 80% more than you would have been if you hadn't made that commitment, as an example, right? So I think if you aim high, you'll still be able to achieve what you want. Like, so 3 days a week in February, dude, that's an awesome goal, in my opinion. Like for me, if I could hit the plunge 3 days a week in February, like that's a good goal for me. It's a doable goal. I wouldn't put that on like the level of your morning. Like that's not even close, because I can kind of do it when I want. But even 3 days a week for me on the plunge consistently is a good goal for me, because I'm not hitting that. I'd say I'm probably like twice a week, if I probably, and the sauna maybe once a week, because it just takes a long time.
The sauna is a big investment. Yeah, the sauna is a big time investment. The nice thing though, because I know we have the same sauna, I did this on the weekend because I was going to have a little bit more time. Have you ever used the function of actually like setting it to turn on in 8 hours?
No.
So I did that, and it was really nice. So right before going to bed, I set it. So the max is 8 hours, because it's a timer. That's all it is. And that way in the morning when I woke up, I got in the plunge and the sauna was hot. So I didn't have to like wake up, turn it on, because I wanted to do them all first thing.
30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really nice. So I think I'm, if I can get that done, honestly, once a week, because again, to your point, it's a big time investment. Like then I know that I'm going to be in there for 20 minutes and whatever. That's the beauty of the cold plunge though. The cold plunge is, I can't tell myself that. That's why it's such an excuse.
You can't say
when I'm like,
time. That's the biggest problem.
Dude, you could be in and out the whole thing, like dry and dressed in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Fuck. I know. I mean, I've lately this last month, I've hit the ocean more than I've hit the plunge, just because Ava likes to go there and we both like to get in the ocean.
The ocean's so good, man.
It's so good, man. It's just so good. There's something about it that's just like, just so good. And you know, back to your point, it's like, sometimes you just got to make commitments and just stick with them. It's like the beach is only 25 minutes from my house, but it feels so far away.
You live so close to the beach.
It's 25 minutes from door to door. And it's just like, but I make it like this big thing. It's like, oh, we got to go to the beach. Oh, I have sand on me. You know, it's just like we pick these like big things. It's like for example, Caden wanting to go to the snow. And I'm like, dude, it's so far away. It's like, bro, it's 3.5 hours. Like, it's not that big of a deal, but you make these things into big deals because they're inconveniences. But I think you need to recognize like,
and then they're always worth it once you do it. That's the thing too. Always worth it once you do it. Once you actually do it, you're like, dude, God damn it. Should do that more often.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, if you're listening to this podcast and if you have not left us a rating or review, definitely helps out the podcast. Love it when you guys share different things that are going on in your life with us through the newsletter. And if you haven't checked out the Train Hard app, you got to do that. I mean, I just think we're putting out great workouts, fun workouts that are effective. That's it. And if you're looking for fun, effective workouts, we got you covered. They're going to help you act the part, look the part, and never let your momentum get to zero. We're not going to get you ready for, CrossFit Games, even like qualifying event, because that's just not where we're at in our journey. But we surely, if you follow our training, I bet you can still perform pretty damn well in the open, because I'm going to do the open. And I bet you can still do pretty damn well.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that too. I'm going to do the open this year, and it'll be fun to see how that goes.
Dude, CrossFit Games Open coming up. Tactical Games coming up. Training every day for life coming up, because you got to keep up with the kids.
Second kid coming up. I have it on my big ass calendar. I can see it clearly. It's like 15 weeks away, dude. Which is like, dude, that's like no time. I was talking about it with Ariel last night. She was like, it's 15 weeks. And I was like, 15.
Hey, whoa. Enjoy it. And it'll be broccoli hot again.
Oh, dude. It was funny. I was talking to a friend when I went back to New York, and he had the best analogy for it. Because he was saying that, like, yeah, man, like right now, dude, you're 2-on-1. Like, once you got two, you got to play man to man. And then he was like, dude, and if you have more than two, now you're playing zone. And it was just a funny sports analogy for it.
Love it, man. Love it. Well, everybody listening, hope you guys are getting after it. Hope you guys are training hard. Hope you and your family are doing well. And go back, check out the other episode, and we'll see you again next week for another podcast with Gabe Yanez.
Let's go.